what we read between yesterday and today, Allah says the following: قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَى أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. That who are the successful believers? Allah did not say who are the successful Muslims. Allah says, from those that are Muslims, there are those that will choose to become the best of individuals, becoming mu'min. And who is the most successful mu'min from among us are those individuals that try to perform their salah in a manner that shows direct concentration and a link to themselves and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah says, successful are those believers that also turn away from that which is useless in nature. So, in order to be successful, the first thing is not just salah. It is salah naturally, but salah with the added dimension of genuine concentration and linking yourself to Allah, that I'm reading that which Allah wishes for me to read, and I'm reading it as if it's going to be my last. Once you are able to accomplish this easily, then moving away from useless talks becomes very easy in nature. And individuals that delve and dabble in useless talk, generally it is as a consequence of the lack of concentration in salah, or sometimes not even praying salah at all. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. That means, first of all, as far as salah is concerned, salah is not enough according to these ayah. You need more than just salah. You need that khushu, khudu, tranquility, love. And turning away or talking is not enough. Talking is necessary, but when it becomes useless, you move away. Number two. And number three, zakah is important, but for the higher purpose of zakah, fa'ilun, look for the poor person yourself and give it to them. The word fa'il comes from the root word fa'ala. Fa'ala means to do. Fa'il is the doer, the one that does the act. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. That means you don't just give your zakah, you look, you search, you look, you go around, you find out who is poor, who is not poor, and let me get the money to the right person in the right manner without humiliating the person after you have given the person the money by saying, you remember 2 years ago I gave you this and that, I took care of you, now it's your turn to take care of me. Allah says that's something you do not do. Thereafter Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. And as far as their body parts are concerned, their organs are concerned, they protect their organs. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. And as far as fulfilling all the desires are concerned, they do it in the right places, with the right people, in the right manner, so that way they are pleased as well as the other individual that is pleased as well. Thereafter, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made mention, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not become like those individuals, those believers that follow the footsteps of shaitan. Because by following the footsteps of shaitan, he will only command you, يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. He will command you towards every type of uselessness, of things that are vain, and things that are destructive for your faith and the faith of those around. And shaitan will tempt you in many different ways. For some it will be through talking, for some it will be through listening, for others it will be the types of transactions they take part in, for the things they drink, for the people and they interact with, and the things that they make others do and others make them do. So the Quran says, whatever is wrong, stay away from it, because shaitan, once he comes in the picture, he is going to ruin you and your family and those around you as well. Whereas Allah, as far as he's concerned, his concern is the following, that he wants his mercy to come upon you, and he wants you to be purified, and he really wishes that good for you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Those individuals that yarmoon, that means they throw, they take part in, like you got rami that takes place in Hajj, it's that certain type of throwing that takes place. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the man that throws or takes part in accusing not just a chaste woman. What is a chaste woman? But the other is a woman that's chaste, that means she has not taken part in wrongful, and also she's ghafil. Ghafilat here means that she's, her senses are not very fine in knowing all aspects of what is going out there in the world. She's sort of innocent by nature. And as a consequence of an innocence, sometimes she may walk out of the house without a covering on the face or without covering of her hair. She's a young child, or she's not very much of a child. She's sometimes mature as well, but she's not fully ready for maturity. So she may start laughing out loud, she may start giggling. And somebody, upon hearing that, they will make an accusation. Look at what type of individual she is, etc., etc. So the Quran says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, that as far as these believing women are concerned, you have no right to sort of throw an accusation that is unwanted without proof towards them. And if you did that, لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, you will become an individual that will be cursed in this world as well as in the hereafter. As I've mentioned before, people that take part in cursing initial individuals, according to the hadith itself, a day will come when you will see that curse will become reality in your life or in the life of your children or grandchildren. May Allah sincerely protect each one of us from this. The lesson in this is not to curse our children and grandchildren. The lesson here is for us not to accuse innocent individuals of wrongful actions and activities. الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات إلى آخر الآية. Allah SWT mentions here that certain people are made for each another. Bad people are for bad people and good people are for good people. It doesn't mean good people must not help the bad people. Allah is saying there comes a point in life where you have to say, "Bas, enough is enough. I tried, now I cannot go on any further." Business transactions has to be done with good people. People that are wrongful out there will try to tempt you. The Quran says, do not be tempted by those people. Let them do what they have to do. Try to advise them. If they change, then by all means you work with them. Same thing with good people. Good people must try to put themselves and band themselves together so they can do more good and help others stay away from evil. It doesn't mean good people must judge bad people, because if we judge them, we become like them. The good people become like the bad people. So in Islam, as we mentioned today in Friday, we must not like the sin, but we must not have a problem with the sinner. In other words, the person themselves, we do not attack. We attack or we put down or we help individuals abstain from the sin, but the individual itself, we will give them at times the benefit of doubt until they persist on that wrong and they do not want to rectify their given situation. And the Quran makes mention of such behavior as well through the lives of various prophets, etc. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu adkhulu buyutan ghayra buyutikum hatta tastanisu wa sallimu ala ahliha. All these various ayah are now teaching us certain type of manners. What type of manners? That when you enter the people's homes out there, don't just enter anyhow you wish. There are certain things you do, whether it's your house or the houses of friends, etc. You give them a sign or a signal that you are coming in. Sometimes the family may need a few extra minutes to put themselves right. They may have a surprise for you. We are living in a very creative world, and we should allow people to be creative in their halal endeavors. So the Quran says, there are certain things you must do when you enter, especially your house. Then there is a way to enter. You make salam, there is certain adab. When you enter the houses of strangers, then you must knock on the door. And the Quran says, وَإِنْ قِيلَ لَكُمْ وَرْجِعُوا فَرْجِعُوا وَأَزْكَى لَكُمْ. And upon you knocking, if they do not open the door or they are busy, and you know that they're inside sometimes, or they tell you, look brother, we are busy right now, we have a meeting going on, we have something going on, go away, then go away, because the mood may not be right or conducive enough for you to enter their house. In other words, Islam is saying, be respectful of the rights of other individuals on every level. In today's time, the ulama have made istidlal of this ayah and even said it to a cell phone. For example, the person not picking up the phone, allow them the right not to pick up. Don't keep on every 30 seconds keeping your finger on the button and continue calling them, because it's not fair. They may be busy, they may just want time out, they may want things to reflect upon, they don't want to deal with an unnecessary issue out there that they may feel that you are posing to them. So the Quran says, by you turning away, giving them the space, and trying later on, either through a different method or the same method, huwa azka lakum, that is much more purifying and better for you all. Then the Quran talks about قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ and وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ يَغْضُنَّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ, depending which eye to look at. The Quran is saying here, as far as believing women and believing men are concerned, believing men and believing women, it is better for them, يَغُضُّ, غَضُّ, يَغُضُّ has to do with lowering for them their gaze in as far as the everyday actions are concerned. When they walk, they must try to lower their gaze and not continue looking directly at people, whether it is men or whether it is women, and I'll tell you why. Although a man will say he is allowed to look at a man, a woman is allowed to look at a woman, unfortunately, and I'll give you a simple example from the major imams we have. For example, Imam Abu Hanifa used to take part in discussions. He would not just pass a ruling between himself and a few people, like a secret team, no. He would at times have 40 individuals out there. There was one of the major imams that was very, very young. And as a result of his youth, he was mature, but because of him being very young, his face had what they call a baby face. So, and he had no beard coming out. As a result of that, he would say to him, please go sit in the back. Hakim Akhtar in modern times, for example, when individuals had no beard and they were very, very youthful looking, he would tell them, please go in the back. It was not that these people will be inclined towards haram, but you and I clearly know that individuals out there, unfortunately, have sometimes a sick mind. And the lives of children at times are in jeopardy as a result of the sick mind of individuals out there. So the Quran is saying, create. And also our teachers used to say, regarding what I'm speaking about, to bring an end to it, we should try to make our boys look like boys. Like on Eid Day, for example, now a boy is young. Young kid, you can vision a young kid. It is not very difficult to make this young kid look female. You put a turban on his head, and you put all that surma in the eyes. You make him wear a certain type of clothing. Automatically, he begins to look very feminine in nature. So the ulama have said, make your boys look like boys and make your girls look like girls in the proper way. At the same time, create some type of awareness in how you make them dress so individuals out there will not stalk them or prey upon them. Now, having said that, the Quran is giving us now a different advice, that O believers, try to limit you're looking at other people, especially for that which is haram and that which will tempt you towards that which is wrong. Every individual has a predisposition here. Everyone knows what their predisposition towards negativity is. For some it may be wealth, for some it may be adult-related desires. We have to find out what is the thing that is pulling me down. And that's the thing we limit our eyes upon for our benefit and our future. It is not easy to do that according to some, but inshallah, if you concentrate on that, it can become a reality. So the Quran is saying, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ غُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. O believing men, safeguard your eyes and safeguard your organs. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. That is much more better for you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ وَيَصْنَعُونَ. Allah is very aware of what you are manufacturing. يَصْنَعُونَ actually means what you're looking at and the thoughts that are going through your mind and how they are manufacturing and becoming a reality. Allah is very, very well aware of it. I mean, you can see the way Allah is talking in the Quran. This is not the book of any human. In the sequence, in what he tells us, how he starts the ayah, how he goes in the middle of the ayah, how he concludes the ayah, it is genuinely, genuinely amazing and advice for you and I. Then Allah SWT also advises the females regarding themselves and how they must behave, how they must interact, and how they must go about their own their endeavors. Allah SWT also talks about marriage a little bit over here, and essentially this ayah and many other ayah put together, Allah SWT is also saying that women that are old, women that are sometimes widowed, they have certain needs and certain requirements. And if there is a group from amongst us naturally that is inclined and has a need to get married,
he must, and they must not just ignore this given demographic. They must give them a chance in the proper way, in the halal way, and assist these individuals in fulfilling their desires. What type of desires? Everyone has a different desire. For an elderly person, it'll be different. For a middle-aged person, it'll be different. For a young person, it'll be different. We have to find that fit and create a match and a goodness between each individual in that category. Allah SWT also gives now advice towards children, for example, and Allah says that they are young. When they are young, 2, 3 years old, they will walk in and out of every bedroom and they are ghafil. They don't really know what they are seeking or what they are not seeking. But Allah SWT says, as they're getting older, then you must teach them the adab of knocking on doors, letting you know that they're going to come in. So that way, your privacy is maintained and they don't also see what is unnecessary for them to see or see more than what is necessary. Although it may be halal for them to see certain things, you don't want them to see too much, because later on it'll create and trigger certain memory in them, or it may create certain ideas in them. And also the ulama have derived from this given ayah that we should also limit what our children see in as far as media is concerned, television is concerned. So while I will say that my child cannot see my or more than what is necessary upon me, I must also say it is not fine for my child to see a stranger out there, whether it is through media or taking them to certain places, etc., etc. Finally, we'll end up with a few things here. وَقَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامَ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. Look at this man, regarding Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What type of man is he? He's eating, he's going to the marketplace, he's walking around, and he's taking part in regular things that other people are taking part in. لولا أنزل إليه ملك فيكون معه نذيرا أو يلقى إليه كنز أو تكون له جنة يأكل منها وقال الظالمون إن تتبعون إلا رجل مسحورا. These ayahs are saying the following. The disbelievers, and also taking the next ayah that we will talk about, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, that all these prophets that we have sent and messengers we have sent, they are in a way like normal human beings. They go to the marketplace, they eat things, they drink things, they sometimes may say things that people may feel is inappropriate. As I mentioned, I think it was one of the mornings or the other time, the Rasulullah himself said that sometimes I may offend you and say things that you may not like. Again, I'm just a human, as he said. So Allah is making known here very clearly that they eat, they will drink. The people that don't like them or don't want to follow them, they say the following: how can you be eating? How can you be drinking? Now it's a catch 22. If they don't eat and drink, then they say they're angels. Since they're angels, we can't follow them because they are beyond our capacity. And then when they eat and drink, then people say, well, now they're just like us. How can we follow them? So it's a catch 22. Allah SWT says, understand full well, this is the way I've always been. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. From all time, from previous times as well, I send out many messengers, and there is no different in any of them as far as the everyday general activities are concerned and how they have functioned. So therefore, do not become distracted by the eating and drinking. Rather, it is for you and I to learn from the eating and drinking what they ate, how they ate, how they walked, where they walked, what they talked, how they talked, who they talked with, how they resolved matters, and how they ended up doing the various normal functions of life. Then Allah SWT now talks about وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. That the servants of Allah have a certain trait, that they walk on earth in a manner of humility, and they are not arrogant in the everyday matters. They will make mistakes. When they are reprimanded, they will accept it. They will sometimes go to places that may not be very befitting, but when they are reprimanded or they are said, there is nothing wrong with you passing, for example, this given store, but for you to be passing the store on a continual basis is not a very good thing, then they are hauna, they are humble, they realize maybe there is some truth in them. So in as far as they're walking, now the Quran could have said يَمْشُونَ, you could have said so many different things. You could have said when they walk, when they talk, when they do this, Allah doesn't need to give an example for every type of behavior out there. This is not a catalog. This is not something that Allah has to go, otherwise it will make it difficult for those that are memorizing too. But anyway, Allah is passing the message here that the servants of Allah, when they take part in their activities, they will try to be humble as best as they can. And وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ, and when they talk to those that are ignorant. Ignorant does not mean here that, well, if you don't have a degree, you are ignorant. You have a degree, you are smart. It has nothing to do with that at all. Take, for example, the issue of Khidr alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam. Both were believers. Both were very much loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One had knowledge regarding the world. One had knowledge regarding the hereafter. When Khidr alayhi salam did not follow what needed to be followed, or rather, Musa alayhi salam did not do what was called upon him to do in that contract between the both, then what happened? قَالَ هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِي. Then Khidr alayhi salam said, now you go your way, I go my way. Both were correct. Both were not wrong in reality. But because the other did not want to follow the original agreement, whatever that agreement was, inshallah some other time we'll talk, then they say now it's time. There is no need for animosity. There is no need for hatred. You go your way, I go my way. This is the reality that should take place in business contracts, in social relations, in everything. We have to have this clean heart that says, yes, we will go in, we'll try to make it work. If it cannot, no animosity. You go your way, I go my way. And we are learning about this from prophets. Now, same thing is taking place here. When ignorant people, ignorant means those individuals that don't want to abide by the rules and regulation of our deen. It has nothing to do with how many degrees you have or don't have. Those that don't want to abide by the contract of Allah, then they are considered jahils. Then they are considered ignorant. Ignorant of that which is supreme. Allah says, regarding such people, you say the following, salam. Qalu salama. You make salam, you greet them, you move your way, and you make them move their way. Because if you go further into it, it'll just end up into a lousy, miserable debate. It'll continue, I'll say this, you'll say that, I'll send a text, you'll send me an email, I'll send you an email. As once Hazrat Sheikh, and I'll end up with this point, there was a debate taking place between Maulana Zakaria rahimahullah and another major scholar. They were going at it. And that scholar was sending a letter, this Hazrat Sheikh was answering, that scholar was sending another nasty letter, Hazrat Sheikh was answering, and Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Zakaria answered what needed, he was a Sheikh al Hadith, he wasn't an ordinary individual, he was a magnificent giant in his area. For the young ones over here, the humor about him since Ramadan, when he was young, he memorized the Quran at a very young age, and his father will say every day, go on the roof and read the Quran. He would go and read the entire Quran, cover to cover, was his duty every morning. And after he reads it, he will come and have his breakfast. That was the agreement. I mean, he was Hazrat Sheikh. So anyway, every day he will come, and before he eats his breakfast, he will say, you know, yesterday I was supposed to read the whole Quran, but I skipped one, two paras. I skip one, two, okay, no problem. And this was his habit, that instead of reading the whole Quran, he would read it, but every day he would skip a little bit, and he would tell his father, you know, yesterday I skipped one, two. This is the way he was. And his father didn't mind, his family did not mind, because he knew and they knew he was a child. Now regarding this scholar, this debate is taking place. Eventually that individual wrote a letter back saying, Maulana Zakaria, I realized I was wrong. I was wrong regarding this given matter. All he wrote back was one answer. Suffice to say, or a simple response. He says, it is just like henna being placed on the hand. You put the sand on it, it comes on. Once you remove the sand, the stain is going to remain. Wash it all you want. The stain of this dialogue that has taken place between us is going to remain for a very long time. So therefore, the Quran is teaching us something very important. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ, when you discuss with ignorant people, don't let that stain come on. Because it's going to affect your iman, and it's going to affect their iman. So it's better what you say, salama. With that I say, assalamu alaikum.
آخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.